reading a bit of Acts 11, verse 23, because actually this is what I feel like the heart of what I want to bring God has kind of put in a section. And it talks about when Barnabas goes to Antioch, because he hears of the amazing things that God has been doing there. And it says, when he arrived, saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. And that's really what I sensed for today, was for me just to encourage you guys. You know, this year has been an amazing year in this church. We've seen so many amazing breakthroughs that God has done in this place. We've seen individual lives transformed. We've seen corporate anointings that have come out in amazing ways. We've seen salvations. God has really built an amazing work in this place, and he's continuing to do that. And so today I really just wanted to encourage you guys to continue on the path and to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. So that's what I'll be bringing to you today. So, keeping our eyes on Jesus, we need to stay rooted in him. And Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7 says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." And thankfulness is really key, because when we're thankful and we praise God for everything he's been doing, we're fixing our eyes on what he's doing, on what he's, how he's working. And we've been singing today about how he's the miracle worker, he's the way maker. And when we give him praise, it focuses our attention on everything he's about. And Psalm 1:1-3, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." So let's continue to keep our eyes on Jesus. Because as this verse shows, even in the seasons when it feels like it's really, really difficult, the circumstances might look like we're not able to produce fruit. If we meditate on his law day and night, if we're fixed on Jesus, and even in those times, we can produce the fruit that God will has for us. And we can bring in that offering to him and give him everything that we have. So yeah, so let's stay focused on his word as well. We know that from Psalm 119 that God's word is like a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It gives us guidance, it gives us direction. And if we stay in tune with his word, then we're in tune with his character and his heart and his voice. And we're able to follow in the ways that he wants. And in Hebrews, it actually continues to say that that God puts his laws on the hearts of believers and in their minds. So in those times when we receive the word, that is actually going deep into our hearts. And there might be times, you know, where God just brings to mind the scripture that he wants to, that we need for that moment. And even in those times when we're reading the Bible in our devotional times, and it feels like we're just reading words on the page, it's not going in. It's still feeding our spirits. It's still going deep inside. And you never know when God is going to bring those things to mind and really speak to you. So I really want to encourage you guys to stay focused on his word. Stay in the word, because the word points to Jesus. It helps us to identify where Jesus is moving, how he's doing, what he's doing. And in those times when it's difficult to see, again, we've been seeing, when I don't feel it, you're working. When I don't see it, you're working. And when we keep focused on his word no matter what, and we're faithful in those times, that's when God's flow comes, his anointing comes in our lives, and we see those breakthroughs. And we know that all scriptures God breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So it doesn't matter what we're reading in the word, it's going to feed us, it's going to provide that sustenance that we need, because we know that the word is the bread of life. It gives that that sustenance. And we can also spend a lot of time in his presence through prayer and worship, and that's a really good way to feed our spirits as well. we know that in 1 Thessalonians, Paul actually encourages us to rejoice always, to pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. Now that might sound quite a tall order, to pray continually, to rejoice always. But in fact, it's having that relationship with him that's close, that isn't for a specific time of day. It's constantly being in the flow of the Spirit. And when we recognize the ways in which he works, to pray and give praise for him for those things. And the more we do that, the more we see the ways in which he wants to work, because we recognize the heart of Father. And that's really exciting. And we're fed by those times when we're intentional about being intimate with our Father. You know, so it's easy to be like, oh, you know, I'll read my Bible, you know, tomorrow. Got a good slot of time tomorrow. But today, you know, I might just, you know, chill and watch TV instead. That's what I feel like doing. But actually, if we're intentional with our time, you know, God is so intentional with us. He's so intentional that he sent his only Son to come and save us, that we might be in relationship with him. And we deserve to be, he deserves us to be intentional about our time with him. Because he's amazing. When we spend that time with him, you know, it just refocuses our whole beings. And situations where we have, you know, we might view something in a particular way because we've got stuck in a rut, you know, God can just bring his light into those places and just give us a whole new perspective on what he's, how he views the situation, and sees the truth in it and reveals that to us. In Joshua, is an amazing guy, and he was commissioned by God to bring people out of the desert and into the promised land. And as part of that, God gives him this commission and speaks to him in Joshua 1:7. He says, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it night and day, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful." Notice how God doesn't start by saying, "Joshua, you're going to be really successful. You know, there's going to be people in generations of time who are going to be inspired by how you followed me, the things you did for me." Instead, he instructs Joshua to meditate on the word, to be really careful to obey his word, because God knows that that's the way that he's gonna be prosperous. And in sticking to that path, he says, you know, do not deviate to the left or to the right. And you know, if you think of a tightrope walker, you know, as they're walking along the road, along their piece of rope, you know, if for a moment they start looking to the left or the right, they start to wobble. And that oscillation of the rope makes it harder for them to stay on track. And at that stage, they have an option. They can let that go, or they can try and correct it. But if they continue to go to the left, then that foundation can then be removed from underneath them. And so it's really important, in the same way, that for us, that we keep our foundation firm on the word. Because God wants to bring us through this amazing path of life with such joy. And he focuses us in the ways that he wants us to go. And as we keep moving forward, we're able to be staying on that path that he has for us. But the good news is that also that Jesus is full of grace. So even if in those times, you know, we're trying to walk forward and we do deviate, Jesus is there to pick us up. He's there to catch us if we do fall. So we don't need to be fearful of those times, but we can be excited about the path that God has for us, that it's going to bring life, not just to us, but to those around us, and it's going to bring victory. And that is very exciting. And in the same way, Peter, in the story that Dad read for us really well. Thank you, Dad. Jesus encourages Peter to come out onto the water with him. And in that, Peter actually steps out onto the water and starts to walk on the water. And he's focused on Jesus at this stage. He's focused. And he's able to walk in the supernatural in that moment. But notice how in verse 30 it says, "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, 'Lord, save me.'" So it's only when he took his eyes off Jesus and onto the situation that he faced that Peter started to have problems. When he was focused on Jesus and he knew that Jesus was the way and he knew that Jesus was getting through, he was able to walk. But as soon as he saw, "Oh, there's wind over here, and oh, I'm a human walking on water, and that's not supposed to work," then he starts to have a problem. But if we keep our eyes on Jesus, we're able to walk in ways and do things that we couldn't have possibly imagined. Because God is the God of breakthrough, is the God of the impossible, is the miracle worker. And we, as children of God, are able to walk in those things as well. Because we have the Holy Spirit living inside us, who empowers us to do those things. And we can't do them on our own. And Peter shows this. He's not able to do those things of the supernatural when he isn't fixed on Jesus. But when we are, we can come out and we can bear amazing fruit for the kingdom. And that's really exciting. And again, Peter, in this time, you know, he has this kind of blip. And he starts to focus on the wind and he starts to fall. And he cries out to Jesus. And immediately Jesus reaches out his hand and catches him. So again, even if we do stumble, even if we do fall from time to time, Jesus is there to pick us up. He's there to console us, bring us back onto the path. Because that's the amazing part that he is. He doesn't just let us fail and leave us there. He's ready to pick us up again. If we're ready to be faithful to him, we repent, we go with him, and we humble ourselves. Another great way of keeping our eyes on Jesus, as we've already mentioned today, is to talk about sharing testimonies with one another, the amazing things God has done. Revelation 12, verse 11, talks about how the believers triumphed over the enemy. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. So Jesus, by his blood, has defeated the enemy. But we too can partake in that victory by declaring his goodness, by declaring the word that he's put in us, and declaring how he works. And that's really powerful when people see that he is the things that he is doing today, because it encourages, it builds our faith. When we share a testimony of God, and of the way he's really worked in our lives, it can inspire someone to take that and be like, "Well, God can do that for me as well. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And therefore, if he's done that in you, he can do that in me." And that stirs us all up. That encourages us all. And even in those times, you know, when you might feel like you're not getting a breakthrough, if you hear stories like this, it can encourage you to just keep going. So if we have a culture of that, then that is something that can help the whole of us. And let's continue to move forward in him as well. Going back to the tightrope walker briefly, the best way for a tightrope walker to keep balance is to actually for them to keep going forwards. Because actually, it might make sense, you know, if they feel balanced, to just hang there for a bit and be like, "I found my place where I'm not going to fall." But actually, what that happens is the vibration that of them walking will get rebounded off the back of the rope and cause them to oscillate again and to stumble. And in the same way, you know, the path of God that he has for each one of us is to move from glory to glory and to progress as Christians, to become more into his likeness. And in the same way, we need to continue to press on towards the goal of the upward call of God in Christ, which is what Paul talks about in Philippians. And in doing that, we can continue to grow in our faith and to get that nourishment. Because when we're filled, we need to let that flow out of us to others. We need to reach the world around us and have that constant flow in and out so that the kingdom of God can advance in so many different ways. And in walking forward and being faithful, you know, Kevin often says that God steers a moving vehicle. So he redirects us in the ways that he wants. And God is always with us in these times. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. And there are times as well when, in moving forward, we have to actually stand firm. And it sounds a bit weird, you know, I'm walking forward, but I need to stand. That seems a bit strange sometimes. But actually, because we're in a battle, sometimes the enemy will try and gain ground on us. And the thing that we have to do is to stand firm and declare the goodness of God and the truths that he has. And that's what Paul talks about in Ephesians, when he talks about putting on the full armor of God so that we might stand in the day of the evil one. And in doing that, we're protecting the amazing revelation that God has given us, and actually overcoming the sin and the temptation that the enemy would put before us. And in doing that, in standing firm in his truth, we can actually, in a way, move forward, because we're overcoming the attack of the enemy, and we're building our faith and being strong in him. So even if there are times when it feels like you're not moving forward, stand firm in him, because he will bring that victory. He will come through. And be just encouraged that God can change our circumstances in a minute. You know, it might feel like, for some of you, that you've been going through something for a long time, that you really wanted breakthrough. But actually, God can change that situation right around in an instant. The word says, to the Lord, 1,000 years is like a day, and a day like 1,000 years. Sometimes it can feel a really long time for us, but 1,000 years for God can be like a day for us. So even when it's really difficult, and it seems like a lot needs to happen in a short space of time, so when God has his timing, those things can change around us. And one of the, there's a Bethel song called Take Courage that really kind of speaks into this. And the chorus is, "Take courage, my heart, stay steadfast, my soul. He's in the waiting, he's in the waiting." And the bridge really brings it home as well. It says, "You who hold the stars, who call them each by name, will surely keep your promise to me that I'll rise in your victory." So even if the things that you face, they feel like mountains, they feel like really difficult situations, and he put the stars in place. He knows them by name. And if he can do that, he can do anything. He can create life where there is no life. He can bring freedom where it seems like you've been in bondage for years. So hold on to your hope, to your triumph on goals, as the song continues. Because there is power in the name of Jesus, and he can break every chain. And so stay in that place of faith. He can heal. He will heal. Even if people are telling you otherwise, even if doctors are saying things that would put you on a death sentence, Jesus is the victory. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the miracle worker. He is the healer. He is the restorer. He can do all things. So stay in that place and watch the triumph unfold. You know, when Paul was on the road to Damascus, he thought he was on a righteous path. He thought he was in the right. But God came in and completely changed his circumstances forever in that one day. when he saw the vision of Jesus. And when Jesus cried out to him, "Why, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he realized that Jesus was the true God, even though he'd been persecuting Christians. His life was changed forever from that point. And he can do the same thing for us. Even when it feels like it can't happen, God can make a way. He's the waymaker. Jesus paid it all for us. He was so fixed on the Father's will that he was prepared to go to the cross for us. And even though he himself felt weak in doing that, I said, "If there is another way, make a way." He actually, in Gethsemane, took the time in those moments of despair when the circumstances just felt so difficult, to actually pray for each one of us right here, that we would know the Father, that we would be one with the Father. In the midst of true suffering, his heart was for his people to come and know him. He's completely devoted to each one of us and to his, and to the path that the Father has. And in the same way, we need to be completely devoted to him and his path. Because when we fix our eyes on Jesus, we can see the victory in our lives. And we can move into the good and the perfect plans that he has for us. And we can run with him in so many ways. And when we're in that place, that is the most exciting place. So even if it feels like at times there's a lot of sacrifice involved, there's so much freedom to be achieved, to be attained. So if any of you here today haven't experienced that relationship with Jesus, that path of goodness and wholeness and freedom from sin, freedom from religion, and just true relationship with Jesus, then I want to give you that opportunity right now. And maybe you have had that in the past, but you just haven't had that for a while, and you want to recommit to Jesus today. And this prayer is also for you. So while all our heads are bowed, I'm just going to pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you that you died for me. Thank you that you took my sin and my shame, that I might have life and life to the fullest. And thank you, Jesus, there is freedom in your name. And God, I choose to fix my eyes on you. Rest of my days, and to follow you, and to be devoted to seeing your kingdom come, excited about the path ahead. I praise you for your faithfulness and your love in my life. Prayed that prayer, if you'd just like to slip your hand up, just so that I'm aware that I can pray for you in a week. God bless you. Lord, you've seen the response today. Ah, thank you, Jesus, for your power, for your direction. And I pray, God, that you just seal that person's salvation again, that you would draw near, and just in all those places where you need to fill the gaps, God, I pray that right now for everyone here. And Lord, may we rise up in your victory, fixing our eyes on you, so that no matter what situation we face, you're at the center. I praise you, God, for everything that you've been doing today in worship in this year, Father. That you are the victorious one, and that you are almighty God with an amazing plan for each one of us. And I pray, God, that we continue boldly in that path to reach the fruit for you and to be servants of the true God and sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. May we know that in spirit and in truth, Father, today.
Amen. Did you receive that word this morning? Did it bring some encouragement to you and some light?